Yes. So 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. If you will read that, please.
Coming from the King James Version, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Amen. St. John 8, 30 and 32.
St. John 8, beginning the 30th verse, says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. God, we bless you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us in this word. Open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us today, that we may grow in the Spirit, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We bless you. We thank you in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The thought for this lesson today would be the cost of the blood of Christ. The cost of the blood of Christ. We just read out of 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 through 20. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And in the 8th verse, 8th chapter, John, and going down to the 31st verse, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, not set you free, make you free. Because we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Transformation is a making, it's a shaping, it's a molding. Mm-hmm. And so we only focus on about the cost.
Amen.
Of the blood of Christ. What it took for Christ and what it takes for us as being, and the key word here is being about being a disciple. So we're going to look at being a disciple and take an inventory of our own lives. We spoke last week about the armor of God and that it is not a necessity. And it must be worn at all times. This truth should be girded. We're talking about you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's the truth of the word of God that should be girded about us at all times. If anything comes out of our mouth, anything we do, the thing we fight against is to make sure that we have it tight enough that we feel it every time we do something, that whatever come out in word or deed, what is it? It's the truth. And so that's why it's important to have on that whole armor and be girded about with it. So that when you get ready to say something that's not the truth, it will be so tight on you that you won't do anything but say it because it reminds you. We do that with our children, with our grandchildren. We tell them, we want them to be truthful. Whatever you do, just tell me the truth. Just let me know what it is. Good, bad, and ugly, just tell me the truth. And we want them to feel a little tug every time they want to do something contrary. So that what? So the truth will prevail over our life. Amen?
Amen?
So the truth of the great cross is that it was by God. God redeemed us. Redeemed us. He bought us back from captivity. And this is more than 200 years ago when we're talking about slavery. We're talking about captivity of our souls. We were given over by what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve. When they sold their birthright, just like Esau did, sold his birthright, they did it for a piece of fruit. He did it for some porridge or some stew. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we were sold. We were given over. So we're in that, we were shaping in iniquity, shaping in sin, but a price had to be paid. And I'm not talking about a price that, okay, we could have earned enough money. This is a price that we could not pay. We could never pay. That's why we can never thank him enough for what he's done for us. We can't thank God enough for what he's done for us. We can't. You can't. The scripture says if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't thank him enough. No, we couldn't thank him enough. So when we do get the opportunity, we should thank him and understand the cost of the blood of Christ. And not just anybody, not the blood of bulls or animals or things like that, We're talking about the blood of Christ that washes our sins. And this is not a one-time thing. This is one time done, clean. The problem remains is that the cost that we have to pay as well. When we accept Christ on our life, there should be an understanding that there's a cost to that. We just don't say, yes, I'm free now, hallelujah, and that's it. No, there's a cost. There's a price with that. You know why? Because there's a battle going on still for your soul. And in that battle, the enemy's trying to tell you that you're not what God did. That you're not, no, you're not his chosen one. You're not his, when he died for the sins of the world, he didn't die for what you just did. Pick and choose what God did and did not do. That's the lie. That's why we've got to make sure truth is always around us so we understand the lie versus the truth. Because lies are flying constantly. Constantly out because he's the accuser of the brother. And he's there to tell you through your ears and say, that ain't true. I know they said that, but they don't really care about you. Or whatever the lie is, whatever it is in your spirit, you may be on the job and say, yeah, they told you about this promotion, but it ain't happening. And you were praising God beforehand, yeah, God's going to do this, but, and you heard that little whisper, well, maybe he's not going to do it.
That's true.
That's what the cost is. Mm-hmm. Because we have to fight to contend for the truth. Mm-hmm. And not just absorb a lie. Because you know what? It's easy to absorb a lie. You know what absorption means? You take a paper towel and you spill something. You put it on there, right? It's just absorbed. So easy, just like that, right? Didn't take long at all. That's what it's advertised to do. But when truth comes, it takes a minute to get there. You know why? Because you have to really go after it. It's not something that's just easy, just somebody can throw a lie on you and say, you did this and that's it. You take, it say it takes, I think we use this analogy in the military where you can do 99 things wrong and you can say, oh shucks, one time and all the 99 things you did, forgot. Use the term, you can't unring the bell. Once it's wrong, you can't unring it. Even though we know God has forgiven us, that bell is still ringing. Ding, ding, trying to tell you, ain't nothing happened, ain't nothing changed.
Yes.
Forget about all the 99, what you did, why you did it, how come you didn't do this? So we got to understand the cost of this blood of Christ and the cost that we have to pay. Let's talk about discipleship for a minute. When do we stop learning as disciples? When? Never? Never. Okay. Here's some things. Do I give more of my time to the job than to the Lord? Do I give more time to my job than my wife or husband or children? Do I give more time to television, hobbies, social media than the Lord? Those are rhetorical questions because we all have to put some answers on that. Because I realized something this week. I was talking to Pastor Diane. I was thinking, you know what? I was talking to her about something, and I realized the Holy Spirit just convicted me so hard. I said, you know what? I go to work, and I give 110%. Because we don't give 100 no more. We give 110%.
Mm-hmm.
And when I come home, I'm tired. But why does my battery run down so much when I get through that door, and it don't run down when I'm at work? Something I had to ponder about this cost of the blood of Christ. He came to make us free, not just to free us from sin, but to free our minds, to free our very being, and to be a disciple of Christ, that means I have to be disciplined. So when I get to work, I'm following all the procedures, directives I'm supposed to do my job the best. Great job, Danny, you did a great job, good job. Man, he does it, swell guy. Get home, and too tired. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong if I'm giving 90 at the job and get 10% at home. Something's wrong when I give 90 at the job and 10% to the Lord. Lord is not asking us to give our tithes and our time. He's asking us to give us his all. So if we've been bought and paid for, as 1 Corinthians says, if we've been bought and paid for with a price has been paid, and then a price must be rendered by us. And sometimes we think that we're free, hallelujah, we're free. There's a price for freedom. There's a price for freedom. We still have to pay a price. You know what that means? When I don't feel like it, I need to feel like it. Or when I don't feel like I still need to do it. Or when I, as I heard before, when should we not give God the praise? When we feel like it, or when we don't feel like it, we still should give him praise. He don't tell us, you know, today don't worry about it. He said, this is the day that the Lord has made. So if I'm in this day, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Look at the rain. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Keep that irrigation system down. Hallelujah. But this is the day that he's made. If we're in this day, he said, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Glad didn't have anything to do about what somebody said or what's going on the job, even what's going on in the house. He said, if I'm God, if I'm Lord of Lord, and I'm the ruler, and I'm everything belongs to me, you can be glad. You can rejoice in it because I got you. But here's the thing. We grade ourselves like this. On my job, we have a thing called a grading system. We're doing performances. They have threes, two and a half, 2.5, a two, and a one. Let me tell you what the one is. No, I start with a three. Because we don't have the five system that they have in the military. We go three. Greatly exceeds expectation. 2.5 is consistently exceeds expectation. A two is meets expectation. The one is doesn't meet expectation. Now, when you're grading yourself now with your life in the Lord, how do you grade yourself? Three, do you greatly exceed the expectations of the Father? 2.5, do you consistently exceed the expectations? Are your two meet expectations or you don't? Now, that's the question you have to ask, but listen, we have to answer that question every day to understand the cost of the blood of Christ. In doing this stuff, there has to be nevertheless somewhere in there. Because when I get home from work, I have to do something. I have to have a nevertheless because I'm tired, but nevertheless, I'm going to give that time. You have to go through that same thing. Listen, your dog tired, even if you're not working, you go through day, your mind's been everywhere. You want a little me time. Isn't that the vernacular that's used nowadays in 2018? Me time. I need some time to myself. Everybody, pause. I need some time. I just need me. So, we get that time with people. God saying, hello, remember me? The one that you say you love, and that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I need some of your time. And we'll tell God, not nevertheless, we'll tell him, you know my heart. And you know in my heart right now, I love you, but I don't feel you right now. I need a little time to myself. And I'll repent later. That don't even make sense. But we tell God that. Because he's telling us, listen, I know you're tired. But I'll give you the strength you need. We don't even want the strength. I don't even want it. Because I ain't doing it. But we talk about the cost of the blood of Christ. And then we talk about us being his disciples. When do we stop doing what the master said if we're his disciples? When do we stop? We have to ask ourselves these questions. How did it come down with just me talking about me? When we talk about for Christ I live and for Christ I die. Where did that come from? How did me get in there? That's what happened to Lucifer. That's what happened to Satan. That's what happened with how he failed. Because he got into the me. Okay. I need some me time. I need some me glory. I need some me praise. I need me. And pride caused him to fall. Because he thought more of himself than he did of God. God's status was never going to change. He just thought of himself that if he got people to praise him, that he would be much higher than God. Sometimes we think in ourselves that we're much higher than God because we know about the blood of Calvary and how came down and it washes our sins, and now we've been redeemed. Hallelujah. And he said, okay, as a redeemed, you got to understand that you no longer belong to yourself. You're mine. I bought you. We don't like to use those kind of terms because that reminds you of, I'm nobody's slave. Yes, you are. We were before. When Satan came, he became our master because of the sin. So we are a slave to sin, whether you acknowledge it or not. We're still a slave to sin. But here's the thing. Christ came and says, listen, I don't want you to be my slave. I'm telling you everything that I do because a servant doesn't know what the master does. So I'm going to call you friend. And I'm going to tell you about the Father and the things that I'm going to do. So it won't be no secrets. You're going to know because I love you like that. That's the kind of cost that was paid by the blood. You're no longer a slave to sin. And I don't want you to be a slave to me. I just want you to love me and be a friend. Bring me close. Bring me close by obeying. If you tell me you love me, don't let your heart be far from me. Don't let your lips be there, but your heart far from me when I ask you to do something that you don't do it because you don't have time for me right now. When we talk about the great sacrifice, you know, a friend stick is closer than a brother. The sacrifice, oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, what he did, oh, when I was lost in sin and what he did. And then we get amnesia. Because it can't apply right now because he knows what I'm dealing with, because he ought to understand what I'm going through, what I'm thinking. He knows I love him. You try doing that at your job. Try. Try. Go ahead. You know, I was going to be here today, but, you know, I wasn't feeling it. I just went, but my heart was here. My heart was with me. But I just couldn't get in there. And I know the conversation would come back from the job, from the employer, saying, you know, I understand. You know, just go ahead and do you. But you know what? You can do this from today, tomorrow. Hey, take the whole year. Yes. Yes. But we thank God. There is a reaping and sowing. There's a love of reciprocity. Where we think sometime in Christ that we'll just do the 1, 2, 3 step and then be all done and he forget all this stuff. Sure, he separated our sins from the east, for us, the east is from the west. He don't forget. But we don't play that because, Lord, I know you forget the stuff that I've done. But what I just did, I need you to forget that too. Now, that's called premeditated. Because you already made up your mind you're going to do something wrong. But you already asked God to forgive you. How does that work? You're going to get a paycheck next Friday. You can count on it. But guess what? You ain't working no more. So how you going to get a paycheck? But we try to do it to God. We always want to get paid for God. God bless me, bless me, bless me. Bless me. Bless me. And that's what we ask God to do for us, but we don't want to count the cost that it takes to be his disciple. I'm a child of God. Are you a disciple of God? I'm a child of God. Are you a disciple of God? There's a difference. Just because we have children don't mean they're disciplined. Just because they bear our last name don't mean they're always disciplined. Disciples mean that I'm going to learn from you. I'm going to stay, and whatever you say, I'm going to do. That's the discipline of a disciple. I'm going to be your disciple. Our children haven't always been disciples. They have. Because when we talk to them, they'll look you straight in the face, and they'll say, you're going to do it? Yes, I'm going to do this. And then they say, well, what had happened was. But that's the cost. We go through that as adults. We deal with this, but this is about our relationship with the Lord and understanding that when we deal with folks as children and children of God, disciples of God, everywhere we go, a difference should be made. Everywhere. No, you don't have to see the difference, but you need to understand what you carry in you. You carry carry the light of the world. So any place that's dark, it's going to be illuminated because you're there, because of the Christ in us. So we're going to make a difference wherever we go. So we have to be understanding that our talk and our action should reflect the Father. If we're his disciple, we should reflect what the Master says. So that when we leave someplace, they may never tell you, but you made a difference. You made a difference because of Christ. And you have to understand that how vital our obedience is in going out into society. But it's first we've got to start with ourselves to understand that we want to have that, nevertheless, Lord, you told me it's 10:30 at night and you say, I need to talk to you. Can you stop for a moment? Or can you just quiet yourself? It ain't the fact that, yeah, the Lord told me to get out of the bed and walk around the house 7 times. He can't even get us out of the bed, let alone talking about walking around the house. He didn't even say, get out of the bed, just stop for a moment. Come on, you hear that stuff all the time. You hear the Lord telling you, say hello. You say hello to that person. You know what they hear? I ain't saying nothing to them. Let them say something to me first. You hear stuff, and you wonder, that ain't for me. You start rationing stuff. We'll never grow in God unless we just be obedient and move and see what he says. Some things we miss. But we start getting scared when it comes to the thing of God about doing what he said, because how are they going to think about me? What they think about you already? We're not trying to please anybody. What we're trying to do is please the Father. Make sure we do what he says. He'll take care of the rest of that. Because people you try to do everything for on your job and help out and stuff, people you see and you want to help, they'll still look at, why are you helping me? I just wanted to help. You can't do it because for them. You have to do it for him. Make sense? We're coming to a close. We need to take a reflection, take inventory of our lives. We should take it in a sense that we reflect ourselves, how we're doing as disciples of God. And let me just give you an example. The other day, I went to crank the lawnmower. The lawnmower, and evidently it was still, wasn't turned all the way off, so it's been sitting there and it's been on. So, had to get a new battery. Got a new battery, popped it in. Ooh, yeah, we ready. Guess what? Got it out, got ready to rev it up, get ready to turn the blade on, and all I saw was smoke. It said, I heard that sound. Never heard that sound before. Saw smoke coming out, stopped it. Guess what happened? All that grass that collected underneath there that needed to be cleaned out, the blades couldn't turn. It was so thick. It took me a day and a half, well, not a day and a half, it probably took me about 3 hours to get it all off. I had to get underneath it, get it up on this incline to clean out. I mean, I'm chiseling, got a little rubber mallet, hitting stuff. It was so thick. Why am I using that example as far as inventory our lives? Some things are if we don't take care of it like God says do, it's building up. It's sitting there, and you get on that thing and you think that it's going to work because it's going to work. And you realize there's some build up there. And God said, I was trying to tell you, the manual says that after every use, wash it out. Clean it out underneath. Or it'll build up. Nah, it ain't that bad. Well, it got bad. If I would have went ahead and did like I was going to do without taking care of the problem, which Holy Spirit told me the problem, because I am not that mechanically inclined, but something that simple, it took labor to get that stuff out of there. But the reason I'm telling you this is because of the cost of the blood of Christ and what it takes sometimes. It's not always pretty. It was a nasty job. Lying on the dirt, grounds, ants and stuff everywhere, but they had to get down there to get, had to get down. It wasn't no like this. It was down there sweating, cleaning stuff. It's a dirty thing, but it's because things built up. And God don't want stuff to build up. He wants us to take inventory of what we have today. He's telling us every day how to get better for him. You counted the cost, yes, you accepted me, but there are some things I need to get rid of because you're not being able to, your wheels can't turn as smooth as they should. You know what it sounds like when it turns real good. You know when something's wrong. And Holy Spirit said, listen, do this. Stop that. Say this. Do this now. He's telling us constantly. And we're deciding whether we want to do it or not. As disciples, we may know 66 books of the Bible. We may not have memorized all the verses. But again, as a minimum, whatever we know, it should be on prominent display to the world. Live what you know. And as you learn more, you'll live that. But don't try to grab it all like this because you can't. Just live what you know and the Lord will add to whatever you need in order to do what you need to do. He'll give it to you and he'll give it to you in his word. It won't be my opinion, nobody's opinion. It'll be what the word says. And you can make sure that truth is leading you and that you can understand the cost of what it took. It took truth to tell a dying world, to tell those people that you're lost. You can't go and tell somebody who's a billionaire or who's got it going on that they're lost. They won't hear you. Lost. I got this, I got that. Well, what are we talking about being lost? Your soul. Oh, I'm happy. I didn't say nothing about being happy. I was talking about your soul. That's a whole other conversation. But God is not looking for us to be, we don't save anybody's soul. He's looking at us to be soul winners and introduce him. As a disciple, listen, you have a friend coming to town. You're going to introduce him to your other friends. Hey, this is a boy who came in from out of town. You know, we ain't seen each other in a while, but he's good, man. Here, I want to introduce you. There's no way you're going to walk up there with your friend and see a bunch of people that you know and don't introduce them. No way. You won't do that if somebody come out of town, you're walking with you, and you're going to say, hey, how you doing? And they stand up, you're not going to introduce them? How come we don't do that with Christ? He be with us all the time and we don't introduce him to any of our friends. Not like we should. Not with that warm affection like we do our friends. We tell them, yeah, so-and-so, we go way back, good guy, that we'll be talking about him for a minute. And they say, yeah, we good with that. It's just an introduction. It don't mean they're going to be tight with them, but at least you introduce them. That's on them what they do after that, right? But we don't even give Christ an opportunity. That's the cost of the blood. Last, and in closing, we get tired. We get sick and tired of being sick and tired. But don't we get tired about wanting to want everybody to do what we want to do? If you do this, then I'll do this. We bargain with people. And we're not even trying to fulfill what God says. We just want people, if you would do this, then it would be good. But we're trying to be men pleasers more than we're trying to be pleased to God. He's telling us what to do because he knows the minds of everybody. If you say, do this, and this is what will happen. Yeah, I hear your prayer. Here's what I need you to do. But God is saying this. Get sick and tired of talking about ourselves, about what I want. Let's talk about what God wants, what his word says. Let's talk about that. Because my stuff, it'll change. I'll say I want this today and tomorrow, it'll change. That's just me. It'll change. Some days I want butter pecan. Some days I want Rocky Road. It changes. But I love all of ice cream, but I love different flavors at certain times. My new flavor is, I won't tell you what that new flavor is, but because I shouldn't be eating it, but it's good. But anyway, last scripture, Luke 14, 28 through 20, and I'll read that in your hearing. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. We don't want to be that person. Counting the cost, being a disciple of Christ, we want to make sure that we constantly exceed what God is asking us to do, because he's going to give us the ability and the power to do what he says do, to glorify himself, to not make you ashamed to own him. That's Luke 14, 28 and 30. The cost of the blood of Christ. The cost of the blood of Christ. Nevertheless, Lord, not our will, but your will be done. Let us pray.